Have you ever thought about like how much power the government actually has to shape the economy, like down to the prices
Oh,
a
yeah.
business can
For
charge?
sure.
I mean, it's a fascinating thing to think about, right?
Absolutely.
It's a real balancing act,
Yeah.
especially when you think about a company that's struggling and the government comes in and says, you have to lower your prices,
Yeah.
even though you're already like on the verge of going out of business.
It's a huge question.
Can they really do that?
Yeah, it's a fundamental question of, administrative law and the limits of government power.
And that's exactly what we're going to dive into today. So
Absolutely.
for everyone listening,
Yeah.
the case that we're going to be looking at today
Okay.
is Market Street Railway, the Railroad Commission of California.
I love this case.
It's a 1945 decision that has had a lasting impact on administrative law.
Oh, for sure.
I mean, it really provides crucial insights into the constitutional boundaries that are placed on regulatory agencies.
Totally. And it's not just like some abstract debate, This is a real world company, Market Street Railway. They provided streetcar and bus service in San Francisco. And they basically got caught in a conflict with the California Railroad Commission.
So what exactly prompted the commission
Yeah.
to launch this whole investigation? What was going on back then?
Okay. So basically, the commission, they decided to look into the rates and the quality of service that Market Street Railway was offering. They did their investigation, and then they issued an order saying that the company had to reduce their base fare from 7 cents to 6 cents.
I mean, 1 cent might not seem like a huge deal, but for a
Right.
business that's
Yeah.
trying to stay afloat, I imagine that that could be a pretty significant hit.
Oh, absolutely.
So what was Market Street Railway's reaction to that? Oh, they were not happy about it at all.
They basically argued that this forced reduction in fares would make them lose money and potentially even drive them into bankruptcy.
So they were saying
Yeah.
that the government was basically setting them up to fail.
They felt that way,
Yeah,
and
what do I mean?
they based this objection on two main constitutional principles.
Okay, what were those?
So first, they said that the commission's order violated their right to due process under the law. And second, they argued that this was an unconstitutional taking of their property without just compensation.
So they couldn't just ignore this order, right? What did they do?
No, they didn't just comply. They challenged the commission's order and they took it to the California state court system.
And what happened?
Well, the California Supreme Court actually ended up siding with the regulatory body. Yeah, they upheld the commission's decision.
Okay, so at this point, the case goes up to the Supreme Court.
Exactly, to the highest court in the land.
All right, so we've got a transportation company
Yeah.
facing some financial headwinds.
Action. We've got a state commission ordering them to cut prices, and we've got this major constitutional showdown brewing at the Supreme Court.
Absolutely.
So, how did the Supreme Court rule on all of this?
Well, in the end, they actually affirmed the judgment of the California courts.
So, they sided with the Railroad Commission.
Yeah, they basically concluded that the commission's order did not violate Market Street Railway's due process rights,
Okay.
and that it also didn't constitute an unconstitutional taking of their property.
Okay, so let's break that ruling down a little bit.
Sure.
Starting with the due process claim. How did the court reason that the company wasn't denied a fair process here?
So the court took a close look at the procedures that the Railroad Commission followed.
Yeah.
They noted that Market Street Railway had received adequate notification
Okay.
that their rate structure was being investigated
Right.
and that they had the opportunity to present their evidence and their arguments during the commission's hearings.
Yeah. So essentially, the procedural safeguards of due process were met.
So that makes sense.
And what's really interesting is that the court acknowledged that the commission relied on its own expertise and drew inferences from the data that was presented.
So they didn't just rely on like outside experts or something like that.
Exactly. And the court found that that was permissible.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So the fact that the commission basically used its own judgment and experience
Right.
in evaluating the situation wasn't seen as like a violation of due process.
That's right. The court also addressed some smaller procedural objections that the company had raised, like for example, the commission referencing some company reports that hadn't been formally entered into the record, but the court said that these types of references didn't actually prejudice the company's rights in a significant way.
So in this case,
Yeah.
they were looking at the overall fairness of the process.
Exactly.
More than like a strict adherence to every single procedural rule.
That's right.
All right. So now let's talk about the big one here.
Okay.
This argument that forcing them to lower fares
yeah.
was essentially taking their property.
Right.
How did the court deal with that?
This part is really important.
Yeah.
And it has had a lasting impact.
Okay.
A key part of the commission's decision was the way they valued the company's assets
okay.
to determine what a fair rate would be.
Okay.
Market Street Railway wanted the rates to be based on the reproduction cost of their entire system.
Okay.
Sorry. Basically like the cost of rebuilding everything from scratch.
Yep.
But the commission rejected that.
Okay, why?
Well, they decided to use the salvage value instead.
So can you explain the difference there and why the commission chose salvage value?
So reproduction cost yeah. is, like you said, the hypothetical cost of rebuilding the whole system
right.
at current prices.
Okay.
Salvage value, on the other hand, is what you'd get if you sold all the assets for scrap.
Okay.
Or to another buyer. In this case, the commission focused on salvage value because Market Street Railway
yeah.
had actually offered to sell their whole operation to San Francisco for $7.95 million.
Oh, so they had a real world number.
Exactly. So the commission thought that was a more accurate reflection
oh.
of the company's actual value.
Interesting.
And the court agreed.
They did.
Yeah. They recognized that the transportation landscape was changing.
Right.
Cars and buses were becoming more popular.
Yeah.
So they said it didn't make sense to base rates on the cost of rebuilding an outdated system.
So basically they were saying, look, your business model
right.
is on the way out because of the market.
Yeah.
We're not going to pretend it's worth more.
Uh-huh.
Just because you could theoretically rebuild it.
Right.
Which you're not going to do.
Exactly. And that was key to their analysis
yeah.
under the takings clause.
Right.
They made it clear that rates don't have to guarantee a profit
okay.
if the market makes those profits impossible. And they also said that due process isn't there to protect businesses
yeah.
from market forces
okay.
or to help them recoup lost investments.
So they were basically saying
yeah.
you're on your own when it comes to the market.
Pretty much. And Justice Jackson, who wrote the majority opinion,
yeah.
he had some really powerful things to say about this.
Like what?
He said, and I quote, "The due process clause cannot be applied to ensure values or to restore those lost by economic forces."
Wow. That's a pretty clear statement.
And he also said, "The commission's experimental rate wasn't confiscatory. It reflected reality."
So those quotes really get to the heart of the decision.
Yeah.
So based on this landmark case,
yeah.
what are the key takeaways for regulatory bodies?
Well, a few important principles came out of this case.
Okay, what were they?
First, it established that agencies have to provide adequate notice and a fair hearing
right.
when they're changing rates.
Makes sense.
Second, agencies can make judgments
mm-hmm.
and draw reasonable inferences from the evidence. And they can use their own expertise, even if they don't have expert testimony on every single point.
So they have some leeway
right,
to
yes.
use their own knowledge.
Yes. And third, if a business claims that the agency made procedural errors,
uh-huh.
they have to show that those errors really impacted their rights.
Okay.
Fourth, when valuing assets for REIT setting,
yeah.
you should focus on the present value and the market conditions,
okay.
not hypothetical future costs, especially in industries that are in decline.
Makes sense.
And finally, this case reinforced the idea that
no.
courts will defer to the expertise of agencies
okay.
in these complex economic matters.
So basically, as long as they're following a fair process
right.
and making decisions based on a realistic view of the situation,
uh-huh.
the courts will generally respect their expertise.
Exactly.
So Market Street Railway also had a broader impact
oh, yeah.
on administrative law.
For sure.
What was that?
It really strengthened this concept of agency difference,
uh-huh.
not just for rate setting, but for their findings of fact as well.
It's interesting.
It moved away from those strict formula-based approaches to rate regulation
right.
and towards a more pragmatic approach,
oh,
one that recognizes that economic realities
uh-huh.
and the specific circumstances of an industry matter.
So it gave agencies more flexibility to
yeah.
adapt to changes in the economy.
Exactly.
Could you give us an example of how Market Street Railway might apply to a modern situation?
Oh, absolutely. Think about the energy sector.
Okay.
We're moving towards renewable energy sources.
Right.
And regulators are dealing with this transition away from fossil fuels.
Yep.
They have to figure out how to manage the decline of traditional infrastructure
right.
while encouraging investment in new, cleaner technologies.
Right.
And the principles from Market Street Railway are super relevant here.
How so?
Well, they focus on present economic value. They say you have to adapt to big economic shifts.
Mm.
And they let agencies use their expertise to make decisions.
So, for instance?
Well, agencies could use similar reasoning to adjust rates for traditional power companies as their infrastructure becomes less economically viable.
Okay.
And they could also create rate structures that support renewable energy.
Right.
It's all about making sure that regulation is based on current and future economic realities.
That's a great example of how a case from almost 80 years ago is still shaping regulation today.
It's amazing.
It really highlights that tension between protecting property rights and serving the public interest.
It does, and it's a tension that comes up all the time.
Especially when you have these huge economic changes.
It's a timeless tension, for sure.
And hopefully this deep dive into Market Street Railway has helped everyone listening understand how that balance is navigated within our legal and economic system.
That's what we are going for.
It really makes you think about how this whole interplay between regulation and business is going to evolve as we face all these new economic and technological changes in the future.
It's going to be interesting to see what happens.
Definitely what other areas of our economy might see these kinds of challenges.
Oh, there are so many.
Right.
I mean, as industries change rapidly, we're going to need to adapt.
And how will the principles from this case help guide those decisions?
That's a great question and something for everyone to think about.
Definitely lots to ponder.
For sure.
Thanks for joining us.
It was my pleasure.